You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. On a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HunterdonChamber.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Marriage licenses are now being issued to same-sex couples at the Rowan County Courthouse in Moorhead, Kentucky. Clerk Kim Davis was sent to jail yesterday for refusing to do it based on her Christian beliefs. Her attorney spoke to ABC's Good Morning America earlier.
She's elected by the people, and if the people want her to resign, then the people can ask her to resign, and they haven't done that. In fact, she's a very well-liked individual in that community.
That was Matt Staber. Five of her deputy clerks have agreed to issue the licenses. The government's August jobs report has been released. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 173,000 new jobs were created last month, but most analysts thought the number would be right around 220,000. The unemployment rate fell slightly from 5.3 to 5.1. This is USA Headline News.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive my owner had to give up half decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
Wish summer would last forever? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Endless Summer Sale, August 27th through September 7th. With colors like Picnic, August Moon, and Pressed Flower, you'll be surrounded by summer long after the leaves have changed. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is coming out against the Iran nuclear deal. Maryland Senator Ben Cardin says he will vote to disapprove the agreement.
Under this agreement, Iran is permitted to be able to enrich to a level that will take them extremely close to breakout legally.
He told the Baltimore Sun he has concerns about the inspections and the difficulty of reimposing sanctions if Iran violates the agreement. But it appears President Obama has enough votes needed to block a veto override. The memorial service for Deputy Darren Goforth was held today. He was the Harris County, Texas Sheriff's deputy who was murdered last week, pumping gas at a gas station. Saudi Arabia's King Salman is in Washington, D.C. today to meet with President Obama. It is the first time Obama is hosting the monarch who assumed the throne earlier this year. He has booked the entire Four Seasons Hotel, all 222 rooms. This is USA Headline News.
All set. How was your visit with the dentist? Shall we book another appointment then? Wonderful. I'll sign you up for our root canal rewards. 10th one's free.
Big one? This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, the sports guys are jumping to go, but I'm Pat Smith, and Bill Wolfson and Ken Milstrey are here. But let me tell you a little bit about the weather, because this should be a great weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny, high of about 82 degrees, so some of that oppressive heat is gone. Sunday, again, sunny, high of about 84 degrees, so both Saturday and Sunday look great. Labor Day, Monday, sunny, again, a little bit higher, 87 degrees, so great day to go to the beach, great day to get outside. Bill, great day to sail, and frankly, other than me, who has to, and I won't even say why I have to work all weekend, building inspector is a reason. But in any event, this should be a great weekend, and it's hard to believe that it's September and this is Labor Day weekend. But let's talk sports. So, guys, I'm sure you're jumping, and
I don't even want to talk about...
My team that played Bill's team.
Well, we don't.
So
need
let's talk about something else.
We don't need to talk about that just yet because it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. But I will tell you, Pat, it's going to be a great weekend for those of you who are going to be at the shore. The Barnegat will be busy, and then suddenly it gets real quiet after Labor Day. So the best sailing is yet to be, folks. So remember, just because the kids are back in school doesn't mean you can't get down the shore, as we like to say around here. Now, Pat, let me ask you. You were out on my boat a couple of weekends ago. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was great, Bill. I haven't been sailing in years, and we had a great day on Barnegat Bay. Went down to Forked River, and it was interesting because, you know, I'm not from New Jersey, and I said to my husband, I was at Forked River, and he said, wait a minute, that's Forked River, and I said, no, I think they call it Forked River down there.
We call it the Forked River.
But it was a great day. The sailing was terrific, and Bill is a terrific sailor. He really is. And Ken, we missed you. We wish you would have joined us, and I hope we can do it again.
You would have had fun, and
hopefully next year.
Either that or maybe one of these weekends before we put the boat away. We usually pack it in around October 15th and then start on all the winter work we do on the boat. But, you know, Pat, the Forked River is a neat place. Where else can you sail into a marina, walk maybe 50 feet on Route 9, and go to the Forked River Diner? How many, just like New Jersey is famous for its diners, we even have one that you can sail up to.
Well, I guess there's that fish place down in Cape May that we've had dinner, and there will be people who come in on their boats. And now I don't know if they can sail up that close, but I know they can motor up. But then you can put your sails down and motor up.
Yep, or you can drop.
Do they call it motor up?
Motor up. We do motor up, although there's a place called the Water's Edge right in Bayville that if you can go out and sail up to a mooring ball, grab the mooring ball, call them on Channel 16, and they'll send a launch out to get you, so you can go dance on their outdoor dance floor right around their outdoor tiki bar. What is this thing with tiki bars? I just don't quite understand. Does everybody want to be in the Caribbean while they're still in New Jersey?
That I don't know, but I will say there were some impressive boats at the shore, and I can imagine, you know, there were probably more before Sandy, right? Oh. Didn't a lot of the boats were damaged during that hurricane?
A lot of, between Hurricane Sandy and the price of fuel, a lot of power boaters ended up in either giving up the sport or just saying, okay, I'm out of it for a while until the price of fuel drops. But now the price of fuel is down, and a lot more people are buying power boats.
Well, I know we saw a couple of what they call the cigarette boats, and they were pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to do 40, 50 miles an hour in the water with a plume of water being jetted out the stern of a boat. I personally enjoy that. I think they're fun, but, you know, for a vacation, it's not for me. The really exciting thing for me is getting out on the ocean and just cruising along. It's fun to go to places like Atlantic City, Cape May, or Block Island, or even up through New York Harbor. It's, one of my thrills is going under the Verrazano Narrows and looking up underneath a bridge I've been over maybe 1,000 times in my life. I think that's really neat. And the other thing that's really cool, if you get a chance, is to visit Governor's Island, which has now become a New York City park. Governor's Island used to be a military base owned by the Army. And when you are at the foot of the Battery, which is the southernmost part of Manhattan, it's called a Battery for a reason. They had guns there to protect New York from the British.
Well, now, can you just sail in and... what do? You don't call it park a boat, do you?
No, we call it docking.
Docking a boat.
Yeah.
So can you actually go into one of those harbors and dock a boat?
Sure.
I can imagine you can't do it at the Statue of Liberty.
No, the Statue of Liberty is a security zone, and you've got to be careful. You can no more approach the Statue of Liberty. You can't get closer because than a certain distance, right? I think the Coast Guard comes out or the Marine Police come out or the Park Service and runs you off. But you can certainly go into what's called North Harbor or Liberty Harbor. Liberty Harbor is across from where the World Trade Center used to be. And it's the beginning of the old canal that went from the Hudson River to the Delaware River right across New Jersey, or the Morris Canal it used to be called. Or you could go into what was called North Harbor, which was at the foot of the World Trade Center. And I've been in there both on my own boat and on other people's boats a number of times. The other thing is, if you time it right, the current will give you a nice quick trip up to the George Washington Bridge. And then when the current changes, you simply turn around and go back.
Well, I know that coming back, and we got to talk football, guys, but
we will get
coming
there.
Back when we were with you at Barnegat Bay, you can't imagine how quickly we got back. I mean,
I believe
I liked that part. I liked that part of the sail probably even better because, you know, it was just, you were zipping along.
Yeah, a couple times, Pat, not in a sailboat, but in a power boat, we would leave out of Atlantic Highlands and go up to New York City to see the fireworks on the 4th of July.
That's a fun thing to do.
But it is amazing how fast. I mean, you kind of cruise up to Manhattan, and when the fireworks are over, everyone turns and heads south at full speed. I'm telling you, we were in Atlantic Highlands in 15 minutes. It was unbelievably fast.
Oh, yeah, because not only are you going quick fast on the boat, but your speed over the bottom is faster because you're also running with the current.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wind and current are interesting things, and I won't go into it too much, but I will say, Pat, the reason we had such a quick ride back and such
it's
a comfortable ride back was we were running with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sailors call it when you're going with the wind. So we were running downwind, and we also had current moving us in the same direction. So not only were we going fast over the ground, but the water was making us go even faster than we would have if there hadn't been any current. So it's always fun the first time people experience that to say, boy, it took us 3 hours to get down here and just an hour to get back. What did you do?
Yeah.
You must
know
what
I knew
you're
what
doing.
You did, but it was just it was fun.
But let's talk football.
Oh, well, Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get these preseason games. I don't know why. We're getting the New York games, so we're getting whatever the New York channels are.
We've got to watch the Jets.
We had to watch. Well, Giants. We watched the Jets and the Giants, and then Seattle and San Diego. So I don't know if we just missed it, but we couldn't get the game. And of course,
Pat, NFL Network doesn't run those games.
I don't think so. We didn't seem
they
to
are
get
preseason it. Games. I think the ratings for them are probably.
Well, we buy the package for the season, and unless
and they don't put the preseason games on.
You know what? I shouldn't say. Maybe we just missed it because of where they are. But in any event,
you know, I've never seen a preseason. I've seen one preseason football game in my life. One.
You mean going to the
game. To the game, and I've never watched one on TV.
We've been to the games
like
the preseason.
Like the games this week, 50% of the players on the teams that played aren't going to make the team.
Well, that's the whole point. They want to see who they're going to keep, and so they really, you know, the last couple games especially, they really win. But I think we have to talk about really the news of the day, which is Brady again.
Well, you know, it seems like the NFL couldn't get suspending him right. They didn't follow the collective bargaining agreement. I think the judge castigated them in his ruling, saying that they weren't playing fair. I think this is a big much ado over nothing. All it is just drawing attention away from the play on the field. You know, because quite frankly, as a lawyer, the last thing I want to think about on Sunday afternoon when I'm watching football or litigation or legal problems, football's one of my escapes.
Yeah, but wait a second.
I don't
care.
You
know, he walks with nothing, and you know, I'm sorry, but I did not read the judge's decision, so obviously, you know, they need to. My sense would be they need to shape up and get a contract where, you know, people do things, because frankly, how is it that they were able to suspend, you know, Rice and all of these other people, and I guess that had to do with the morals contract, conduct. But to me, Brady gets off scot-free, and the two guys who, you know, did it apparently are suspended. I think they were fired, weren't they,
from the Patriots?
From the Patriots.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I got sick of listening to it. I mean, really, I want to hear about football. I don't want to hear about
exactly
legal actions and all this. And I think the judge, and I didn't read the whole thing either, but I mean, I know what the outcome was, but I think he probably had the same attitude. You know, enough already with this.
Well, no, I think what he said, and he had to. I was surprised that Brady even got into court.
I was surprised, too.
I have to tell you, I don't know enough. I didn't read as to how he even had standing to file in court, but whatever. The judge has a different, he has to rule based on the contract, based on whether or not the commissioner could do this. It just seems to me that it's surprising to me that they didn't have a better negotiated contract. And maybe what they need to do is not have the commissioner sit in judgment on these things, but actually have a retired judge or someone else. And
yes.
I said that before. Because it's kind of like having the same person being the prosecutor
right.
and the judge.
Exactly.
So
to your point, Pat, what next time somebody gets suspended, what are they going to do?
They're all going to appeal.
They're going to go get their legal team, and they'll go get some judge, and they'll find a loophole in the collective bargaining agreement, and it's all going to collapse. So this really, although I'm not really upset that Brady got off, I think this sets a very bad precedent going forward. Really bad precedent.
Well, remember, there's a lot of cheating that goes on in pro sports, whether you like it or not, whether you admit it or not. The thing, and remember that the Patriots got into trouble over Spygate. Why they were spying on a team with a losing record than the New York Jets is a mystery to me. I mean, do you really need to cheat to beat the Jets, the 2000 Jets? They were not a good team. So, you know, you've got the Patriots seem to have a history of that. You also have Aaron Hernandez, who is convicted of murder. This is becoming the Oakland
well,
Raiders.
Well, that's
East.
A little different. You yeah. can't blame the Patriots.
No,
the
I can't
Patriots.
Blame him for that and, either. He's and in frankly, jail. He's not going to be able to carry the
you know,
ball.
Some of the, you know, and one of the things that sometimes, and I think the teams do try to cover up, is a lot of these kids come out of the really bad neighborhoods, and they were part of gangs. And the issue was, and with Hernandez, if he ever got out of those gangs. But I think that this puts a real black eye because it had to do with a football game. That's what upsets me about this. In other words, you know, any football player in cold weather would know whether or not that football was underinflated. So don't tell me that Brady didn't know. Whatever involvement he directly had, I don't know. But, you know, if he was an honest guy, he wouldn't have played with a football. He would have said, give me a regular football. Hmm. So and as far as the collective bargaining, I mean, they could never think of all these possible little things that could happen. So I, as I said, I haven't read it. I don't know. Apparently, they team and their lawyers didn't do a good enough job in the charges to make it, and they should have known what they could charge him with. But I think it puts a black eye on Brady for the rest of his career.
Sure.
I think his obituary will say he's the guy who was involved in this.
And there's another problem, too. It, you know, anything that really affects the integrity of the game on the field, the NFL has to be much more careful about how they regulate it and how they control it, and also how they discipline players or coaches or what have you. But, you know, it's time to move on and talk about the game itself rather than dwell on this. Personally, I'm disappointed. I was hoping he was to be suspended for 4 games because I want to see the Jets do well against the Patriots. So, but on the other hand, he's back. You deal with it and you acknowledge and you move on. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and to your just my last statement, to your point, Pat, I still think Tom Brady is guilty of it. I have no doubt the balls, you know, they did whatever they did to influence the balls, but somehow there's a loophole that allowed him to escape. Kind of, I equate it to O.J. Simpson. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't think he didn't commit those murders, but legally, he was found not guilty. I think this is the exact same thing with Brady. Obviously, on a much lesser scale, murder versus deflating footballs is completely different, but I still think whether he was suspended for 4 games or the judge let him off makes no difference to me. I know Tom Brady doctored up the footballs. Whether they found him legally or not makes no difference to me. So yes, in public opinion, he's guilty. In the legal court system, they found him to be
They couldn't prove it.
Right, they couldn't prove it.
And they didn't have enough evidence.
Yeah, I mean it's a shame really. That 7 months later, we're still talking about this. And I think thank gosh they got this over before the season starts.
And we will go on, but what do you think that does to the commissioner? He's lost a few of these now. So what impact does that have?
He loses his face. He loses a certain amount of authority. He loses certainly his moral authority to some extent. But, you know, the NFL is brilliant at image management. This is an $11 billion industry at the end of the day based on a kid's game. It's not going to hurt endorsements. It's not going to cost money. It's not going to make the owners less wealthy. So I think maybe he says, okay, we'll learn from this, move on, and get the next one.
Yeah, but do you think he'll be as quick to jump on these things, or do you think he'll back off?
I think he's going to back off. I think he's going to get his legal team to figure out how to do this right. I think they're also going to look more carefully at the collective bargaining agreement. One of the things that I noticed was in the judge's opinion was that certain information was not turned over to Brady's legal team, which dealt with some of the scientific testing that was done on some of these balls. So it's interesting to me that the NFL would not, in litigation, turn everything over to the other side. So in law we say, pardon the pun, hiding the ball. You're not supposed to do that, particularly when you're looking to discipline an employee or you're looking to prosecute somebody criminally. So I think that factored into this. And remember, a collective bargaining agreement is there. It's a contract. Judges are legally bound to follow the contract and to apply the law and the contract. So if there was a certain amount of misconduct, maybe it was on both sides of the courtroom as well as both sides of the ball. What I don't get, though, is how an organization that prides itself on its professionalism and its image management and everything else, the National Football League, manages to mess up this type of a thing. Somebody once said, you know, if you're going to shoot the king, you shoot to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tom Brady, love him or hate him, is something of a national icon for football lovers. People may love to hate him. They may love him if they're Patriot fans. But he's a very effective quarterback. He's had success after success. I think he's won more Super Bowls than anyone else. I could be wrong, but I'll be corrected by Pat, I'm sure. But the end result for me is, you know, this is done. He's obviously suiting up to play the Steelers 8:30 Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to watching that game because I need my football fix.
Okay.
One last thing. I know I promised one last thing, and I think I said this way back in the spring when this all came out. I think Tom Brady was a scapegoat to begin with. Obviously, there was a lot more people on the Patriots that knew they were doing funny business with the footballs besides Tom Brady. You tell me the receivers didn't know? The whole offense didn't know? The whole team didn't know? Belichick? I can't believe the referees didn't know. They touched the ball after every play. My opinion is they just put their head in the sand and said, you know, maybe they do it every game. I don't know. Maybe the referees just assume. Maybe every team does it. I don't know. But a heck of a lot more people than Tom Brady knew about this.
Well,
he was not the only one.
The receivers had to. I mean, when they're catching that ball, if it's cold, I mean, they know whether or not that ball is.
How about the snapper? How about the center?
The center, sure.
Everybody knew.
Well, the receivers are going to know by how much it hurts when they catch
right.
it. And the other thing the receivers are going to know is they're tackled, they land on the ball. If a ball has a certain amount of give, something's wrong.
Right. It's not like Tom Brady's the only guy that touches the football the whole game. There were dozens.
No, but he's the one who should have. I mean, you know, as a quarterback, he's the one who should have.
Isn't Belichick ultimately responsible? He's the coach.
Well, if Belichick knew. And, you know, you're right. I mean,
I'd be
nobody will ever believe that. That was
Belichick
innocent.
Belichick knows when his players go to the bathroom. He can't tell me he didn't know the. He probably.
I got to believe Belichick's as much a control freak
of course.
As anybody else.
Yeah,
you know he probably knows.
Well, let me ask you something else that's come up this week that I thought was interesting. Did either of you see and I think it's Jared Henley, is that his name, the rugby player from Australia?
Yes. Did he make the team?
I don't know, but he should.
He's very close to making. Yes, he probably should.
Have you seen? Unbelievable run.
Remind me, Arizona, San Diego, one of the Western teams.
Oh, shoot. I don't even remember what team he's with.
Yeah.
But
that'd be a good story.
He's, you know, they're going to be, the scouts are going to be going down to Australia to look at good rugby players
yes.
because he never played football. And, I mean, can you imagine the learning curve, though, to never played football and always played rugby and now he's playing and had a good shot. And I think after this last game, at least parts of what I saw, he should get in.
If they're smart, they'd put him on the team just for the publicity.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, rugby's the only sport besides ice hockey I know where you're supposed to punch and kick the other guy. you know what a scrum is, don't you? It's where all these guys get in a circle. They put their arms on each other's shoulder, and the referee throws the ball in the middle. And now they've got to push and shove and figure out how to get the ball out of the circle to one of the what they call backs, one of the guys on the rugby team who's got to run it over the goal line. or kick it over the goal line or kick it through the goalpost. I mean, it's an interesting sport.
It's a crazy game. Those are real tough guys. No pads,
right.
No helmet.
No pads, no nothing. If you ask them what they're my wife once asked, what do they wear under those shorts? And I said, nothing.
Well, guys, I'm going to do a couple commercials, and then I'm going to let Bill come back and beat me up over the Eagle-Packer game. So we'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, huntertonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Hey, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, and Bill's going to beat me up over the Eagle-Packer game. But I have to tell you one thing, Bill. Bradford looked good.
Well, he is a good quarterback. As long as he stays in the pocket and gets good protection from the offensive line that Chip Kelly has personally designed for him, he's going to be fine. I think Bradford has a good arm. He's certainly a step up from Foles, who I liked. He also has a couple of running backs and some better people to throw the ball to, including a very good number one draft choice in Okafor is, Aguilar. Aguilar is out of Miami. He is wearing number 17, and I hope everybody watches this guy because for a rookie, he's got a lot of speed and what receivers should have, which is what I call soft hands. They can just sort of suck the ball in. And it seems to me that the Eagles are going to be a tough team to beat, at least offensively.
They looked better. Ken, did you see any of the highlights of that game? I don't think you saw it either.
I didn't. You know, especially the fourth week of the preseason, Pat, I'm really shocked that they – Eagles played their first team quarterback.
Well, you know why they did? From what I've heard, he needed the practice. He needed to play with that team. Remember, this is big. He just came in. He hasn't had that kind of practice. They did protect him. I mean, he was really protected back there. So initially, Ken, I thought the same thing. I thought, why would they keep him in that long? Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all.
Packers play their regular, outside of him, did they play their starters?
Well,
they played a few of their defensive guys.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson, of course, is out. Cobb got hurt. I saw Clinton Dix did made a couple good tackles. And
well, here's the good news, Pat. You get to play the Bears in week one. You're 0-0.
Yeah.
Forget about that game, and you get to play the Bears.
So that's true. Bears are a terrible team this year.
Yeah.
I have to tell you guys,
you never count the Bears out when they're playing the Packers, and you never count the Packers out when they're playing the Bears. I don't care how good the teams are. That's one of the fun rivalries to really watch.
It's been a rivalry for 60, 70 right. years. It is fun to watch. And the only Packer game I ever saw was in person, at Green Bay hosting the Bears in December in the snow. It was 19 degrees. It was Packer football.
Well, actually, I've only seen them play the Bears once. And all the games, and I go to a number of games. And this year, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm trying to find tickets for the Packer-San Diego game in October in San Diego. So anybody out there who wants to sell reasonably priced tickets to San Diego, let me know. Well, that game is the 18th of October.
Well, that's going to be a fun time because I'm looking at some of the other teams out there. The Giants are not impressing me one bit. The Jets look a little better than they did last year. There's a new coach. There's a new regime.
Actually, the Jets and I, see, we could not get the Packer game and we couldn't get the Eagles game, but we were watching, I did watch most of the preseason game between the Jets and the Giants, and actually the Jets did look good. I mean, I thought there was some they had put together some fairly impressive plays. And, I don't know enough of the players on the Jets to make a lot of comments, but, when you look at the Jets playing the Giants, it never is really like a preseason game. I mean, both teams seem to be out there, and they want to play that game. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the Jets last year, they had top three defense. This year they have a quarterback who, he's not an all-pro, but I don't think he's going to be turnover-prone. I think he'll be fine. I think the Jets are a playoff contender. I'm not going to reveal my playoff picks for this year, but I think the Jets will definitely be playing meaningful games in December. Make one game may make or break the playoffs for them.
Well, I agree with you. I think the Jets are going to have to show us that by Halloween they're still in the hunt.
Yeah,
because remember that's around eight. That's 8 weeks. We've got if they're 6-2, well, and we're all happy. If they're less than that, if their record isn't as good, then they've got problems. They're not a good team yet. Then a lot remains to be shown. I often wonder whether Geno Smith being out is going to – I think it will help them because they picked up a guy who can fill in for them, Fitzgerald, and they've also got a good backup in Flynn who, as you know, Pat, was at Green Bay as an understudy. Aaron Rodgers was certainly head and shoulders above him. He has no luck. He ended up going to Seattle and having to deal with Russell Wilson being a star out of nowhere.
And that really is true because, I mean, he came in when Aaron was out and did obviously a good enough job that he got this great contract from Seattle and then had the rookie Wilson beat him out. And, we'll see. I mean, it's always a fluke as to, some of these things you can't predict. I mean, you just can't. But I think Flynn was decent. I think he could be a decent quarterback for the Jets, and what you really want are two super quarterbacks, one sitting on the bench to take over whenever your first quarterback goes down, if that happens. But I'm not sure about the teams. I mean, I have to say, from what the little I've seen of the Eagles, they seem to be a better team this year than I thought they were going to be.
Well,
or their potential to be a better team.
They have to avoid injuries just like everybody else.
Well, everybody does. That's a given.
Oddly enough, they got a lot of their big names are no longer on the team. Between the last two years, Chip Kelly's got rid of a lot of the big names, but he's brought in his so-called Chip Kelly players, and it seems like they're better than the big names were. So, maybe they're future big names. I don't know. But, yeah, the Eagles look surprisingly good. I thought, when they got rid of the big names, maybe they would slip, but it doesn't look like they miss a beat, at least in the preseason.
Well, remember, for year one, they go 10-6 and make the playoffs. Year two, they're way out ahead of the rest of their division, and then they manage to lose three games and don't make the playoffs and still go 10-6. So they had a postseason collapse. They've gotten rid of the people who Chip regarded as toxic in the locker room or non-producers. He also got the quarterback he wanted, and if he stays healthy, great.
It's a big if, though.
It's a big if.
He's never played a full season, right?
No, he's not. And
yeah, but I think, don't you think that what he'll do if he's smart is not play Bradford for the whole game? If they're ahead, if they're, you know, I've said this before, I've never understood why they always keep that first string quarterback in if they have enough of a lead that they don't need to. And certainly with Bradford, it would seem to me that one of the things that Chip Kelly should want to do is see if he can play him only for part of the game.
Well, one of the problems with that is if you're ahead in the third quarter, let's say by 17 points, maybe you do put in your number two guy, and that's a good idea. But you put him in for a couple of series, make sure he gets some work, and then you put your number one guy back in again.
Why?
Why? Because you want to kill the clock. And one of the things Bradford is good at is taking up a lot of time. The Eagles have a very quick-tempoed offense, but when they start running the ball, they can really eat up the clock. And I think
Bradford. So why can't your number two person do that?
Well, because you've got that quarterback option or the run option where sometimes what you're doing is you're taking the ball back from the running back, and the quarterback is keeping the ball and looking for a hole to dive through and get another 4 or 5 yards and then fall down. Because that eats up a lot of the clock. So you may see that with the Eagles. And the other thing that's interesting, and the reason I think they kept Tebow around because he had a better game than Matt Barkley, is he's a better runner. And I think they're going to be using this quarterback run option more and more, particularly when Tebow is in. And I'm not impressed with Tebow by any means. I'm not one of his fans. Put aside that he had a great year with Denver, but that was a while ago. That was 3 years ago. Maybe he's learned more. Maybe he's corrected some of his mechanics. He certainly looked a lot better than Matt Barkley did last week.
He might fit into Chip Kelly's offense. I mean, a mobile quarterback is what Chip Kelly craves, and that's Tim Tebow. I mean, he's better running than he is passing. He's shown that in the past. Maybe I think he's going to make the team.
I hope he does.
Regardless of how he plays on the field, I like Tim Tebow. I think he embodies what's good in sports. I'd like to see him make the team. I think he's a good story. Somehow he ended up on the Jets and he never played. I never really understood that.
Well, the Jets were a funny situation, too. I never understood why they picked him up. Sometimes people take a flyer on a player and just hope for the best, and sometimes it doesn't work out. I don't think he fits into any kind of an offense that the Jets have had. I think he does fit more into the offense that Kelly has designed. Remember that Kelly has also created a very different atmosphere and a very different environment. He's got everybody moving in the same direction and everybody thinking in the same way on this team.
Well, I was going to bring that list of the first round draft picks, so we could go through and see what our impressions were of the rookies, since I forgot it. Anybody have any views on some of the rookie class? Anybody standing out in your mind?
I got to pass on that because I'll pass on judgment until the regular season starts. I know, my team, the Giants, last year they went undefeated in preseason and ended up having a very poor season. This year they're 2-2. But what does it mean? They beat New England.
Yeah. No, I don't think it really means anything so much as the score, but sometimes you really see some outstanding play. And I guess since none of us have really sat through every one of the games, it's hard to make that comparison.
Pat, from what I've seen of the Giants, I haven't seen any outstanding play. I hate to say it. This is about as low a projection I would have from the Giants for the last number of years.
Yeah. Well, then let me ask a question.
Well, they didn't look great against the Jets.
No.
Not at all.
Their best game in the preseason.
Do you think this is Conklin's last year then, given his age, given how many years it's been since he's been to a Super Bowl, and given the way the team has changed and deteriorated?
It could be, but I don't hold him responsible at all. I hold the general manager responsible. I mean, if you look at the defense, there's nothing there. They don't have any pass rush. Their linebacking is weak, and their defensive backfield is banged up. I mean, if Dallas is on their game that first weekend on Sunday night, it's going to be it could really get ugly, I think, for the Giants. I think their offense will be fine. They'll be above average offense, maybe a top 10 offense, but the defense, I don't see any way they're not going to be a bottom 10 defense.
Well, you know, you asked about rookies to watch. I'm very big on Nelson Aguilar. I said before he was out of Miami, he's actually out of USC, wide receiver, wearing number 17. He's 198 pounds. 6'1".
Yeah, I liked Aguilar.
So he's not big. But he is quick, and he plays very, very well. I think he's going to be an asset to the Eagles, and I think he's going to catch an awful lot of footballs.
And he's a USC guy, right?
Yeah.
How about some of the top picks? How about Winston? They say he's looked good.
But they don't expect him. Do they expect him to play much this year?
I don't. That's a good question.
Well, and as I've said before, I think sometimes we expect too much out of these rookies.
Hey, at this stage, if you're paying these guys X amount of million of dollars, it's nice to sit on the bench, but if the team loses a game or two, they're going to put the multi-million-dollar player in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And see what he's got.
Yeah, in fact, it would seem to me that some of these regular the players who've been on the team for a while have to really worry when the team picks somebody first round draft in their slot.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have to, start saying, whoa.
That's no joke. Wait a minute. They're bringing in who?
Yeah.
And paying them how much?
And how much?
Another guy to watch, though he's not a rookie, is going to be Eagles guard Brett Boyko. He is from University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He's been an Eagle for a couple of years now. And he's a rookie. I think we're going to find him playing on the offensive line more and more. He's Chip Kelly's kind of guy, despite being from Saskatchewan.
So, Bill, you're picking the Eagles to make the playoffs, win the division?
I think the Eagles will make the playoffs. I think they're going to win the division. I know that there are a lot of Dallas fans out there. Whether they get more than one game deep or not, I don't know.
I think they're both, I'm projecting them to both be around 10-6. Mm-hmm. And I think 10-6 will get into the playoffs in the NFC.
I think so, because that's really one of the weaker divisions in the league, if not the
weakest. Really? 10-6 will get into?
I think so.
Well, they were 10-6 one year and got in, and they were 10-6 another year and didn't. But remember, they got the table run against them last year. They lost to Washington, they lost to the Giants, and they lost to Dallas all in the last 3 weeks of the season.
Right. Right, it's rare for a 10-6 team to miss, though. I realize they did last year, and the Giants did it a few years. Weren't the Giants 11-5 and missed a few years ago? Or was it 10-6? But the Giants, their best record in the Coughlin era, they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Remember, the two Super Bowl years, they were 9-7.
Right.
So,
right. And remember, 9-7 wild card teams rarely go deep in the playoffs, but they were, they had a couple of fluky seasons. They had some great plays. You remember the helmet catch
sure.
in the end zone?
Absolutely.
And you remember the great catch going down the sidelines with wonderful over-the-shoulder, drop it into his hands ball?
Just like they drew it up, Bill.
It just happened.
We'll throw it up there, and you take the ball and pin it to your helmet while the other guy's dragging it down your other arm, and we'll get a first down out of it.
Maybe they should have checked out the Giants, see if the guy had Velcro on his helmet, and there was Velcro on the ball.
Hey guys, let's stop for a couple more spots from our sponsors, and then we'll come back for the last few minutes.
That sounds like a plan, Pat.
I think
Pat.
We should, let everybody know out there who sponsors us, and frankly, we hope you patronize the sponsors. Now, watch, I'll have the mental health and the mental illness thing. So if it's NAMI, we just want to tell you that's a great organization, and we don't want you to have to be involved yourself.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, we're back with the sports guys in just a couple more minutes.
And guess what, folks? Guess what starts on the 17th of September? Hockey camp opens. I can't wait. Flyers have a new coach.
You're right.
A new season, a whole lot of new players, and actually some real defensemen. So we're going to see a lot of rookies. We're going to see a lot of second-year guys, and I'm already looking forward to the season.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I was just saying that Hardaway football starting, and hockey's right behind it.
That's right.
Very excited. Rangers look as strong as ever.
That's true.
They should be contender in the Eastern Conference. Should be an interesting year. I think the Islanders will be better. Tampa Bay's got a young, improving team. I mean, if they play up to their capability, it's Tampa Bay's conference to win, I think, or conference to lose.
Probably so. I'm hoping the Flyers make the playoffs this year after 2 years of absence, and I hope they get a little deeper than they did the last time because, this is one of my favorite sports, and this is my favorite team. Meanwhile, in baseball, the Yankees are suddenly looking a little brown around the edges with a lot of injuries. Toronto looks like they're up a game and a half, and they may stay there. And what about your Mets? They can't play the Phillies all the time.
Somebody said, what can the Mets do to improve? I said, schedule more games against the Phillies.
Well, they only get so many.
Bill, they're 14-2 against the Phillies. Thank God they are, because against the rest of the league, they're only three games over 500.
That's right.
So, thank God for the thanks, Bill. Thanks for the Phillies.
Well, that way you brought all those tasty cakes.
And what's happening this weekend and tonight, Serena Williams is playing again. U.S. Open. Anyone who's interested in tennis, I mean, that is really a fun thing to go to sometime.
That's why the Mets have a long road trip, because the U.S. Open's in town. Yeah, absolutely.
They use the same parking lot.
Right.
But the U.S. Open, if you've never been there, if you've ever have dabbled in tennis or like tennis at all, it's really a fun thing. So tonight, Serena's going to be playing. I don't even remember who she's playing. But, I mean, she is probably, I think, is going to come off as the greatest woman tennis player in history. I mean, she's just unbelievable. She happens to be one person who can be losing, can be looking crummy. Her serve can be off, although that doesn't happen often. And yet she just pulls it out. She doesn't want to lose. I mean, that competitive edge, I don't know why some people are so much better, but they just, that they will pull it out whenever humanly possible.
She is very underrated, I think, as an athlete, because she has been at an incredibly high level for a long, I mean, 15 years?
Well, she's been playing, I think she's been playing professionally since like 1998.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1998, I think it's 16 years.
Right, and Venus is her older sister.
I
mean, she's really good, too.
She came on first.
Right.
And you know, kind of Serena was in her shadow. And then some of the most fun matches to watch were when Venus and Serena were playing. And I think Venus is still playing some doubles now, but she's really not.
Oh, she doesn't play singles anymore?
She's not out there. I think she was injured and... you know, I haven't followed, and I don't follow tennis that closely, but it's certainly, you know, and you just have to take a look now because the women are so much more athletic. I mean, you know, Martina was athletic, but I think compared to the women players today, it's just unbelievable. I mean, they're serving as fast as some of the men did in, you know, probably back in the 50s and early 60s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She hits with a lot of power.
And unbelievable.
She's incredible. Yeah, I don't think she gets her due at all. She's almost under the radar completely because she's an all-time great.
Oh, I think, and now she will have, if she wins this, and, you know, everybody believes she will have all four of the major... in 1 year. I mean, that I know that she had, one of them was last year or something, so this will give her all four within a year, which is unmatched. I mean,
has a woman ever done that?
I think Stephanie Graf did it.
Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova.
I don't know if Martina ever did it.
I mean, it's hard to do.
I think Steffi Graf did it. And she may be the only one, but this will put, I think if she wins this Open, it will put Serena out in front because we're talking about, I mean, she barely loses a game.
Right.
I mean, she's only lost a few sets. I mean, you know, we're not talking about matches. We're talking about her losing just a very few sets over the last, you know, year or so.
Yeah, she's so dominant.
And she's a, you know, she's just, women's tennis is fun to watch. I mean, the other thing is it really is, I think, more fun to watch women's tennis because they usually have a lot longer volleys. And, you know, you'll just see it and then you'll see something and you'll think, it's not going to go. But sometimes, the men can be, you know, they just don't have the long volleys. I don't think it's as fun to watch. But that's me. So... You know, you can watch your hockey. You can, and I don't know if there are any bull riding this weekend. I haven't looked that up.
We'll have to look that up, Pat.
I have to look that up.
Well, you know, if you're itchy for football this weekend, there is always Canadian football.
Is that on TV? I mean, if I wanted to watch the Saskatchewan Rough Riders game, see it.
Actually, it's the Calgary Rough Riders.
Okay.
And
it's the Calgary Rough Riders.
Who are the Stampeders? I thought that was Calgary was the Stampeders.
It's the Calgary Stampeders. Excuse me. And it's the Edmonton Eskimos.
Right.
The British Columbia Lions.
Of course.
I think they are the The Saskatchewan team is called the Blue Bombers. There's another one called the Rough Riders, and I forget who they are. There's a new team in Ottawa called the Ottawa Red. Don't ask me why. That must have something to do with Canada being so socialistic.
Ooh. Oh!
Ooh, a political
okay,
shot.
Guys,
a political
done.
Shot.
We're
okay.
Well,
we're out of here. I hope so.
Wow.
Say goodbye.
Got across the
goodbye.
Ballot.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service.